Join the conversation.
Join the conversation.
You're with Cape Talk.
Now, the conversation swings away from breast cancer for a little while onto today's Family Matters segment, which I'll introduce in a second. We might spill over a little past 2:30, and then we will come back to wrap up the breast cancer conversation at around about 2:45 as we chat to a physiotherapist about a particular aspect of post-mastectomy treatment that I want to make you aware of. In between, though, there's something else we need to recognize today, and that is the fact that today is International Stuttering Awareness Day, a day marked around the globe to address the stigma attached to stuttering and to really raise awareness of this speech disorder. You might be surprised to know that the list of people who stutter or stuttered in their youth includes people you see on screen, on television screens, at the movies, or listen to on their records and CDs. Nicole Kidman, Julia Roberts, Ed Sheeran, Samuel L. Jackson, just a couple of the very famous names on this list. And if it's not something you've ever dealt with, you might take for granted the fact that you learned to talk. But as many as 1 in 10 children may develop a stutter during childhood. And we're going to chat today about what that means for them, what it is that causes it, how you manage a stutter, and what the long-term outcome may be. Happy to take your questions and calls, by the way. If you want to phone in and ask a question of our guests or share your own experience, you can call in on 021-446-0567 or leave a voice note on 072-567-1567. Delighted to have with us in studio, firstly, speech therapist Heather Wilkinson. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
And also a young man who used to stutter as a child and overcame this successfully, Darren Wolfart. Lovely to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you as well.
Heather, let's start with you with some sort of basics. What do we mean by a stutter? Does it look the same and sound the same for everyone, or are there different kinds?
They're not really different kinds, but they do sound differently. It depends on the person. And I think, you know, if you have a group of people who stutter, they will always be amazed at how different their speech is.
Really?
We do distinguish between a developmental stutter, like Darren's had, and the neurogenic stuttering, which is induced by brain trauma or stroke.
Yeah, okay, so that might present at a different time in life.
Indeed, as an older person, and it's different. The way of speaking is different.
Okay. At its core, what is the cause of a stutter?
Well, there's no one cause. We know that there are multiple factors that people are predisposed to stuttering, or things that trigger stuttering. And then things that maintain the stuttering, that keep it ongoing. So these are things. The main one is there's a genetic component, so it can be inherited, but not always. There are beliefs that there, or it's not a belief, it's a theory, that there are neurological feedback difficulties. So auditory feedback mechanisms may be faulty, but this is really new research. Motor speech, so when people are having difficulty with planning movements, so these can be associated with stuttering. Then, of course, the personality of the person who stutters. Very often, and I think that my friend here will testify to this, that very, very often people who stutter are perfectionists. So if they make a mistake when they're speaking, it's a calamity. Whereas if we tripped over our words, we'd just, you know, brush it off and go on.
Yeah.
So there is this desire to be perfect. And I think that there is also in people who stutter an increased amount of sensitivity to whatever, depending on their personality.
Okay.
So those are the main ones. Obviously, if there are difficulties with speech and language development, that will also play a part in precipitating stuttering. Having said that, well, we know that about 5% of children go through a period of dysfluency between age 3 and 5. Of this 5%, we know that 80%, between 70 and 80% of these children will resolve, their stuttering will go away. So it's that odd 20% that speech therapists are concerned with, and the research at the moment is to try and find out how can we predict whether this child is going to continue with persistent stuttering or not. And that's where the research is now.
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about treatment and management and where we go from here, but I'd love to bring Darren in at this point to hear a personal story. Darren, At what age did you, were you diagnosed with a stutter, or at what age did it first present?
So I first want to clarify one thing. Yeah. I haven't overcome my stutter. I still am a person who stutters, but I'm working very hard at that.
Okay.
So, but I'll carry on with that a bit later on.
Okay.
But to share with you my journey, I started stuttering at about the age of 5, which is actually quite late in life. And I blocked out most of my childhood, so I don't know what happened, when it started, or why, but I do recall that when I gained consciousness of I have this, what I perceived as a problem, then it became worse. And again, what Heather was saying about trying to be perfect. And so in my mind, I was troubled with this issue, this problem that I couldn't speak fluently and that I needed to be perfect. So I put a huge amount of pressure on myself and I tried very hard to hide it as well. So I had all sorts of ingenious tricks to hide my stutter, and any words that I really struggled with, I would take them out of my list of words that I could say that goes into a no-go word list, and I just wouldn't use them. So I'd swap out words, use maybe filler words, would use filler words like I'm before a feared word just to get it out. And so with that, and trying to uphold this idea of trying to be perfect and fluent, the more and more pressure mounted on top of me. And through high school was when it became really bad. So primary school was still okay, but going into high school, and I think high school for anyone is it can be a very difficult time.
Yeah.
You're going through puberty, you're trying to identify with yourself who you really are. And now I'm really struck with the stuttering that's just getting worse and worse. And it came out mostly in orals and reading.
Yeah.
So even though people didn't pick it up maybe in social talk, in orals and reading where the pressure was on and I couldn't swap out certain words, then this lie, if I can call it that, that was sort of out in the open. And I felt very ashamed. There was times where my stutter was very bad that I couldn't get the word out at all, even after trying and trying. And I just used to hang my head and say, I can't. And that was the end of it. And I couldn't do my oral or couldn't do my reading.
How did your teachers react? Were they supportive and understanding of the challenge that you were facing, or were some of them impatient with you and maybe I can imagine that in the worst case scenario might have looked at you and say, this kid's trying to look for an excuse not to do the oral?
No, I think they could see there was a problem.
Yeah.
They had good intentions, but I don't think they were equipped to know what to do. I think that's why we're talking about it as well, to raise the awareness on stuttering and what maybe teachers and parents and friends can do to help the person. So it was a tough time. And what I landed up doing was doing a lot of the orals and reading in private, which actually in hindsight wasn't the right thing to do, because now I'm avoiding that and it became worse. So it just made the problem even worse than what it was before.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you have just finished a long description of yourself flawlessly in a high-pressure situation of a live radio interview. I mean, I am in awe. I bet our listeners are as well. Darren, did you get there purely on your own by developing these techniques to get around it, or did you seek professional help at any point?
So, long story short, what the big turning point for me in my life after not being able to find anything that worked for me was something called the Maguire Program. The Maguire Program. And it's an international program that's run by stutterers. So everyone involved on the program is also a stutterer, and we're all working hard to improve our speech. And that was at the age of, I think, 20 or 21. So it's been about 10 years of hard work. And I'll be clear, it's not a cure. It's not a quick fix. But they do teach you tools and techniques, a lot of breathing exercises. And they speak a lot about the psychological aspects, which is a very important part.
Yep.
And how to actually deal with that. And through the years, and myself pushing myself out, giving myself challenges as I go along, I've grown as a person, and I've also come to terms with this is who I am. So I'm a lot more open about it, and I'm a lot more transparent about it as well. And where before I was very shameful and used to hide that whole topic and not want to talk about it, now I'm quite proud of it, and I'm proud of where I've come from and what I've done. So my whole mindset has changed, and that is, I think, a very important part as well. So I'm a person who stutters, but it also doesn't define me, and it's not me as a person as a whole. It's just one little part of me.
I mean, right, we are just going to steal a few more minutes, if we may, from this final half hour to continue the conversation around stuttering. With me in studio, speech therapist Heather Wilkinson, as well as Darren Wolfhart, whose story you heard just before the news headlines. And Heather, we were all sitting here in absolute disbelief, because to hear Darren speak, you would not know, unless you were really concentrating very hard and looking for it, that he ever had even a trace of a stutter. Did the story he just told sound familiar to you?
Absolutely familiar, yes. I want to just say that I really, really am so impressed with Darren and the steps that he's taken to work for himself. And I think that, you know, the effects of therapy are much more strong if the person buys in, obviously, and is prepared to move forward by themselves. So absolute, immense admiration for you, Darren.
Heather, a question from somebody on the WhatsApp line saying a friend who is 53 and did not stutter for years has started again recently. Is that normal?
Wow. So the person stuttered as a child?
I assume so, yes.
I would suggest that there's something psychological happening now to resurrect it.
Okay.
I have seen people of that age.
You have? So, okay. Yes. Obviously, we cannot diagnose over the radio with very few details,
so be
aware of that. But it is perhaps, if you can gently suggest your friend, consider seeking some
help.
Be worth it. What sort of help is available, Heather, for a parent who notices, for example, that a child is developing a stutter? What's the first port of call?
I think my main recommendation would be don't wait. Because when a child does start to stutter or become disfluent, often parents change the way that they speak to the children and, in fact, inadvertently cause more stress on the child to try and teach them to speak properly.
Yeah.
Getting them to repeat, all of that is absolutely not indicated. So my recommendation is, if you suspect that your child is stuttering for longer than 6 months, that's not very long.
Okay.
Please do seek advice, even if it's to just set the parents on the right course of engaging in stress-free talking and encouraging that child's confidence to grow.
Okay. Mm. Darren, you mentioned the psychological aspects here. Do you want to just elaborate a little bit for us there?
Yeah, so we were speaking, the physical aspect is one part of it, and that's a part that is actually moves on or passes quite quickly. Mm. When you have a block, it's only a second or two, even though it feels like a lifetime. Mm. But the part that is the crippling part is the psychological attachment to that. So what's going on in the mind of a stutterer, which isn't always apparent to the person listening in, is there's a lot of negative feelings going on inside, and this is, well, it's caused by a lot of trauma that's happened and memory of previous events of stuttering as well. Kind of compounds over time, if I could say it like that. Mm. And the psychological attachments can be listed as fear, anxiety, shame, self-hate, hopelessness. So all of these things. And if you think of those words and what it can do to a person over time, it's quite crippling. So I think stuttering, as much as it is a physical problem, it's more debilitating from the psychological point of view of what it's doing to the person. And I find, from my personal journey, I knew it was a problem when stuttering was taking control of my life. So meaning my choices in my life was removed because I felt I couldn't say that. So if you're going to order a chicken burger, but I can't say chicken burger, I land up ordering a beef burger just as a workaround. Or I went through a period I couldn't say my name, Darren. So Darren was a big feared word for me, and upon trying and attempting to say it, if I couldn't say it, I used to revert to a made-up name. So now I'm Johnny or Carl. So if it's taking control of your own identity, then you know there's a problem as well. So I think the psychological trauma and burden attached to it is far greater than anything else.
And I would imagine, I mean, that sort of negative feedback loop builds upon itself.
Yeah.
So the more you think about it, the more anxious you feel, the more likely you are to stutter.
Yeah.
It's a never-ending cycle.
The fear of stuttering causes you to stutter, so you get caught in a cycle of panic.
Sure.
And it's very hard to get yourself out of that.
Heather, you've used the word confidence a number of times now. I mean, how do you help a young person who is there who might have a physical contributor to the stuttering that you can work on as a therapist to strengthen particular muscles or the way they are able to articulate a word? As a speech therapist, though, do you speak to the psychological
impact? I to say that there are basically three components of therapy. The first one is to do with speech. The second one be doing about the emotional component and thinking and feeling about it. Mm-hmm. And the third component is about social communication. Because very often with the embarrassment and shame that people feel, they tend to look away from their listener. Okay. So they actually are missing out on a whole lot of nonverbal communication. And then they start to, if I can say, fabricate things. He's not listening to me. He thinks I'm weird. Mm. I can't do this. They think I'm stupid. All those kinds of thoughts go through their heads. And yet they're not looking at the person to see that actually this person is quite empathetic.
Mm. Yeah.
So the social communication skills are very important, as well as the psychological, as well as the speech component. In my experience, once the person is feeling confident and more in control of their psychological reactions to this, they're fine. It doesn't matter that they stutter a little bit. Mm. That's absolutely fine with them. But there's freedom. Somebody described it as freedom from chains of the embarrassment, the anxiety, all of that. That's what therapy did for her. It freed her. Wow. And this is what I see has happened with Darren and his journey.
So a question for you, Darren. What did you hate most about the way, or what do you hate most about the way other people respond to you when you stutter?
So, yeah, I think the eye contact thing is a big one, or they frown on their face. And also trying to finish your sentences for you. So if they're seeing you blocking, and again, I think it's good intentions. There's not anything bad from their side. It's just not knowing what to really actually do with the person. So those are the kind of things that I found was a bit hard. And I think my advice to someone would be just hold a very gentle smile with the person and give them time, let them finish their sentence, what they want to say, and that'll help a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I saw you nodding at the comment about don't finish their sentences. Heather, is that a common aggravator?
It just takes away of all person's power because they might say the wrong thing. Can I just add to that quick sentence?
Please do.
Is to say, for other people who don't stutter, just listen to what the person is saying, not how they're saying it. Because I am so, my passion with people who stutter is that many, many of them are brilliant young people, much smarter than me. That's why I so enjoy listening to them. And that's where my training has come from, is listening to my clients.
But I love what you've just said about allowing the space for communication to happen, even if it is happening in a way that you perceive as imperfectly. If I may go on a tangent here, the same applies to people mispronouncing words, particularly when they're not speaking in their first language. It's a bit of a bugbear of mine that we see a lot of people complain. And did you understand what they were saying to you? Yes. Did you? Were you able to have communication happen? Yes. Then why does it matter that you? Why are you taking the time to send an SMS and spend R1.50 picking
what
up
I'm
the pronunciation?
Hearing, Papa.
Sorry, you rang a little bell in my head that I just had to go and visit a corollary there. Interesting question here from somebody on the WhatsApp line. Is it possible to stutter if someone you are talking to is stuttering? Can it trigger it in someone else? Darren, have you ever experienced that?
So the question was, can it trigger from a fluent person to start?
To trigger a fluent person.
I assume they mean a fluent person. So in other words, while listening,
I haven't experienced that. No.
No,
I don't know that to be the case, but
it's not the case.
So,
as I'm understanding the question, the person is saying, can it be copied in a sense from somebody else? Can you catch it from somebody else?
I wonder if they're meaning somebody who has a latent or potential to stutter or used to overcame it, I don't know.
No, you can't catch it. Definitely not. As an aside here, I know that people who stutter talking to each other, they get similarly impatient with each other.
That's just
true.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay. Really interesting. Also on a slight sidebar, but I mean, Darren, your technique of finding a different word or a way, a workaround, Somebody's just WhatsApped to say, I do the same. That is how I handle writing when I don't know how to spell a word because I am dyslexic. I have to find a way to rework a sentence to exclude that word. And I'm just, I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, I take my hat off to you for the ingenuity, and your vocab must be off the charts, having spent years learning to find a different way of saying things.
Yes, but as I said, it's not something that I wanted to do, and I don't want to advocate that to anyone, because if you start avoiding the words, that fear of when you need to say that word, you haven't had opportunity to practice it. And how I've gained control, or how I've improved in my life with my own speech is that I keep on pushing my comfort zones, keep challenging myself. And you got to seek out opportunities where possible to practice. So if you're at the shop and there's a lady at the counter, try and engage with her, ask a question. So every opportunity you have, try to speak to people, try to keep on pushing yourself. And that's how I've grown. And I think a big moment for me as well was I joined Toastmasters. It's a forum for speaking, or to practice doing speeches. So I joined that because I hadn't had the practice to speak formally often. And I had a very, very bad memory of doing orals in high school. I thought, how do I overcome this? Googled and I found Toastmasters, and that was a great safe environment to practice that. And it has been challenging, but that's one way of also doing it. It's kind of like, if you're scared of heights, you need to go bungee jump, you need to do skydiving. And when you keep doing it, the fear actually dissipates, it goes away, and you start to become okay with it. The first time is always going to feel like, why am I doing this? This is crazy. And then you do it another 10 times, it gets better. By the 100th time, it's okay.
Okay, so now I have to go and sign up for skydiving.
Yep.
All right, I'm petrified of heights, and I forced myself to go up in a cable car last year for the first time, and that was my baby step. But you've just challenged me, Darren, to try something bigger than that. So challenge accepted. Let's see what I find. Toastmasters again. Heather, Toastmasters is terrifying to anybody. I've been through Toastmasters courses when I was still at school, and standing up, and you have to cultivate techniques and imagine the audience naked and all of that stuff, and it still doesn't work. The thought of doing it for somebody in Darren's position is extraordinary.
Yeah.
So just in conclusion, I mean, he's spoken about challenging yourself to work at this, and you've echoed how important it is to be a participant in this journey.
Absolutely.
That therapy alone isn't going to do it unless you are on board with it. What advice then, Heather, for those who are facing it themselves, or perhaps parents who are wanting some guidance on where to go? You've spoken about reaching out for help early and not waiting. You've spoken about not finishing sentences and adapting the way you talk to the child. Anything else in conclusion that you'd like to mention?
If people would like to find a therapist, a speech therapist, they can contact the South African Speech Language and Hearing Association to find therapists, and it will specify whether their special interest is with stuttering.
Okay.
At present, we're busy starting a non-profit organization.
Yep.
Which has a Facebook group and a WhatsApp group, which people can join with pleasure. So, it's the National Association for People Who Stutter. And we've got some really – it's run by people who stutter. I'm the only person who doesn't stutter. And we've got some really, really live wire and dedicated people who are working to this process now.
The National Association for People Who Stutter. So with the loveliest of acronyms to remember, it's a lovely thing. NAPS.
Absolutely.
To keep in mind. And that's great news indeed. And Heather, I want to thank you so much for being part of the conversation today.
So much a pleasure.
Speech therapist Heather Wilkinson. Darren, any words in closing of advice or anything further you'd like to share with our audience listening this afternoon?
So for a stutterer, I think to seek help, whether it's through a speech therapist or join a program like I have done, or join Toastmasters, just keep on trying and having the courage to try. And I've got a wonderful quote that goes, courage is not the absence of fear, it's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. So just keep on saying that in your head over and over.
Love that.
So, and yeah, we've also, if I can say this, we started up a non-profit called Basecamp. So I've been chatting to Heather previously, and we're hopefully going to tie up here. And we also, the goal is just to help other stutterers. So, and I think that's important that other stutterers know that there is help there and other people that are on the same journey and path. Because I felt very alone in my childhood and growing up. I thought I was the only one for what reason, I don't know. Hmm. And there's a lot of help out there. You just got to seek for it.
Well, I want to thank you as well. I'm really just blown away, Darren, listening to you today. I don't even know if courage is the right word. I salute you for the way you've taken this in hand for yourself and just come onto a platform which, for many people who don't have a stutter to contend with, is a terrifying space to be in. I really take my hat off to you and thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks very much for having me.